Hosea chapter number 2. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her side and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. In these first 5 verses, we see at least 2 points. Number 1 tonight, we see restoration, and that is in the first verse. Now, we do remember that Hosea was the prophet of God who was commanded to go and marry a woman by the name of Gomer. And Hosea and Gomer had a child together, and the Lord commanded Hosea to name that child Jezreel. And the name Jezreel means the Lord scatters. And the Lord had told Hosea when Hosea married Gomer that she would prove unfaithful to him and that she would end up having other children out of wedlock. And yet, the child's name being Jezreel means the Lord scatters, and the Lord's going to scatter that home. Now remember that Hosea's marriage to Gomer is a picture of God's marriage to Israel, or God's relationship to Israel. And if Gomer is going to prove to be unfaithful to Hosea, then also Israel is showing themselves to be unfaithful to the Lord God Almighty. So anyway, is Israel proved to be unfaithful to Israel, or Israel proved to be unfaithful to God, we know that Gomer, she continued to go outside of the bonds of marriage, and she began to have relationship with other men and had other children. And the Lord commanded Hosea what to name the children. He said, I want you to name the first one Lo-Ruhama. And the name Lo-Ruhama simply means without pity or without mercy. He said, I want you to name the second child Lo-Ami, which means not my people. In other words, because they rejected the Lord has rejected them. And so at the end of chapter number 1, at the close of it, God has Hosea to give a message of hope to the people. That in the long run, Israel's going to repent. They're going to turn and get right with the Lord. And this is a real encouragement to the people of God. And it's going to come after God sends discipline upon the people. So as we begin chapter 2, he says, you say to your brethren, Hosea, you say to the other Israelites, you say the word Ami. You know what that means? They are my people. The word lo in front of Ami means not. But now the lo, the prefix, is taken away, and he says, they are my people. And say to them, say to your sisters, Ruhama, which means the Lord loves and the Lord pities. In other words, after discipline, after chastisement, Israel's going to get right with God. God, in mercy and in love, is going to forgive them and restore them in right relation with the Lord. Now again, Hosea's home is a picture of God's relationship with Israel. And if God says Israel is going to get right with me and this relationship is going to be restored, this same thing is going to happen in Hosea's home. Hallelujah. God is going to bring peace and restoration. So we see in verse 1, restoration. In verses 2 through 5, we see rebuke. God has Hosea to say to the children, plead with your mother, plead. In other words, Gomer has had 2 children outside of the confines of holy wedlock. And Hosea has Jezreel and Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhama in his home, and he's raising them all as his children. And he says, go plead with your mother. Go plead with her. Now, to plead means to contend or to strive. It is a rebuke with a charge. It says, you charge your mother. She needs to come away from her adulteries.
Go plead with your mother, beg with her that she'd stop committing these whoredoms against our home and against our marriage. Nobody could plead with a mother like those children could. And God's also saying to the righteous individuals in Israel, go plead with the nation. Tell them to get right with me. Tell them to forsake the false god Baal. Tell them to quit their own stubborn, selfish ways, and tell them to look back to me, for I am the Lord. Hosea says, neither am I her husband. You see, the marriage relationship has been broken because of Gomer's adulterous, unfaithful lifestyle. And it's broken the marriage relationship. And likewise, the relationship between Israel and the Lord God has been severed because of their adultery. Let me tell you what will end the marriage. Death and adultery. It will end the marriage, amen. And God said this thing is broke up, it's broke apart. And God says, tell them that they need to get right with me. And he starts talking about the consequences. He's rebuking them with consequences. He says in verse 3, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. Now he says that there are consequences of sin. I'm going to strip her down and lay her out in front of everybody like a helpless baby. Friend, there are consequences to sin. Oh yes, there are pleasures of sin for a season. But the season will change and there will be consequences that will be in order. And God says, I'm not only going to make Israel to be naked, humiliated, and shamed, and treat them like a helpless baby, but he said, I'm going to make her like a wilderness and like a dry land. In other words, I'm going to put them in a barren place and I'm going to slay them with thirst. That's what I'm going to do to Israel. I believe for Gomer, this is a warning to her as well. I believe he says, Gomer, if you don't get right with me, I'm going to allow you to contact a sexually transmitted disease. You'll never bear children again. And you'll live in pain and misery from now on out. You may say, preacher, I don't much believe God would allow that. Let me give you a witness tonight. There was a man who come running into the church and said, I need to talk to the pastor. The pastor was in a meeting with some folks. And said, I've got to talk to the pastor and I've got to talk to him now. It's life or death. You get him out of the meeting with these other people. So the pastor came out. And the man said, sir, he said, I want to confess to you. I've been married about 24 years, almost 25. My wife and I have been faithful to each other all this time until the last few weeks. I met a woman at a doctor's office. She smelled nice and looked fine and she talked to me pretty. And she invited me to go out to eat with her and I did. And the next thing, we had a moment of passion in a motel room. And said, I thought my wife would never find out. But I started getting sick and having a few problems in just a few short days. I went to the doctor and I have a sexually transmitted disease. And I've been with my wife. And how am I going to go home and tell my wife and my children that I have a deadly disease and now I have given it to my wife? Over one moment of passion, I have taken away the mother and father of my two children. Weeping and crying and begging, preacher, what can I do to cause this to change? Friend, I promise you, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the season will change. And when it does, there will be consequences of sinful living. 24 years of a marriage and two precious children can be blown apart by one unfaithful act. Friend, I'm telling you, we need to be careful in our homes, in our marriages, and we need to be careful in our relationship with Almighty God. When I look at these verses, verse number 4 says, I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. Listen to what she said. I will go after my lovers. In other words, instead of getting right with God, she begins to pursue these relationships with other men. And Israel pursues these relationships with false gods. Listen what she says. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. It sounds like to me that Gomer is trying to justify her adulterous actions. She said, the reason I'm running with these men is my lovers give me food. My lovers give me water. My lovers give me gifts and luxuries. That's why I do it. Friend, you cannot justify sin. Amen. A man will promise you anything. He'll promise you anything. Some illicit woman may promise you anything to tear your home apart. The devil will promise you anything to tear your home apart. You cannot justify sinful actions. And after all, listen who she gives credit to. Last time I checked, Hosea was the one bringing the food and the money into that home. Hosea was providing for her through the help of God, and it was God that was providing for Israel. But Israel is crediting Baal for all their provisions. And Gomer is crediting her illicit lovers with all her provisions. Friend, I'm wondering tonight, who do you give the credit to in your life? Do you give the credit to God like he deserves? I mean, who is it you attribute thanks to? Who is it you attribute glory to? Hey, she says, I'm going to justify because my lovers give me all that I need. As you try to justify your sin, listen to this verse. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there is a stern rebuke in verses 2 through 5. In verses 6 through 8, I want you to see the restraints of God. Verses 6 through 8. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. God, in his infinite mercy, in order to bring Israel to repentance, has promised to set a hedge of thorns around their path. In other words, God is going to hedge them in. You may say to be hedged in is good. Listen, it was tough on Israel. Israel, as they were pursuing their false gods, God says, I'm going to hedge you in so that you can't go after these false gods. And he says to Gomer, I'm going to hedge you in with thorns so that you cannot pursue your lovers. Friend, when God runs a roadblock in front of you, things are serious. Now, right now in the United States, we're trying to place embargoes against Iran because we don't like the things that are there, that they are doing. And so we're not going to send them food and grain and all these things to try to cause some change in their culture, in their society. And we're hoping that's going to work. Friend, long before the United States used embargoes to try to put pressure on people, God was putting hedges around people's lives of thorns to try to get them to a place of repentance. You may be in a place now where you're running into circumstances and conflicts, and it's a pricking on you and a hurting you, and you may say, I can't believe God would allow these things to happen. Hey, God has some thorns around your life to hurt you and to hinder you, to cause you to get right with him. He's not going to allow you just to go any old way that you want to go. In fact, Proverbs 22:5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. But this hedge not only blocks sinfulness, but it does protect us. That hedge can be a good thing. You remember Job? When the devil came accusing Job, listen to Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy faith and to thy face. And we know the Lord said you can touch all that he has, but you can't touch his life. And what did Job say? Job said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look here in verse number 7. God's now put a hedge of thorns around her life to protect her and also to try to draw her to a place of repentance. And look at verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers. No matter God had put a hedge around her, she still was pursuing her lovers. Do you know why? Lust has consumed her. You know, a man or a woman driven by lust loses their sense of reasoning and their common sense, and they'll make bad choices time after time. She's going to follow her lovers. Look at verse 7. But she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. The Bible says that God is not going to allow her to realize her affair to go any further. All her plans are going to go up in smoke. God is going to work this thing out that everything that she tries to do, she can't do. You know, that's what happens when you leave the Lord out of your life. All your plans are going to go right up in smoke if you try to do it on your own. I believe this woman was looking for love, looking for joy, and looking for peace, but she's looking in all the wrong places, wasn't she? The very one that was blessed in her life, she had no care for whatsoever. And so this hedge causes Gomer and causes Israel to see some tough times. Look with me. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. You see, for a while, Gomer and Israel had forgotten that their husbands were providing for them. I got to thinking about this, that even though Israel was wicked and Gomer was wicked, Hosea and the Lord God kept providing for their spouses. I believe that I could probably prove this to be true, that as Gomer left the home and the marriage and the children and moved into the home of one of her illicit lovers, that Hosea, knowing his wife was in bad shape, took her groceries, took her money to provide for her. That even though she's with somebody else, he still loves her so much and cares for her that he still provides for her. And as he knocked on the door and said, does Gomer live here? And that man said, she's here now. What do you want to make of it? He said, I just come to drop these groceries off for my wife. And I come to give her a little money. I want to make sure she's taken care of. Can you imagine how they laughed at Gomer? Or how Gomer laughed at Hosea when he left? Hey, that's what Israel was doing to God. God would bless them with food and oil and wine and all these good things. And they'd turn right around and put it on the altar to sacrifice it to Baal, which was a false god. I want to ask you a question. What do you do with the provisions God gives you? Do you waste it on alcohol? Do you waste it on drugs? Do you waste it on gambling? Huh? Are you obedient and use the provisions of God as is set forth in His Word? Or do you consume it upon lustful things? It's a tough question, isn't it? It's a tough question. But she said, I'm going to return to my husband because it was better with me back then than it is right now. I got to thinking about that statement. I got to thinking about the prodigal son. You remember him? Prodigal son left the father's house. He said, I want everything that's coming to me. He left the father's house. He wasted all of his substance on righteous living. And where did he end up? He ended up hedged in a hog pen. You don't think God will hedge you in? There's a big old fence around a hog pen. I've seen it many a time if I slop the hogs. And you know what was in that mud? I mean, he was in the hog pen, and he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He was wallowing in the mud, the urine, the feces, the disease of life. And God just fixed it to where his substance run out. And he said, then what you going to do? And he laid in there with the hogs until he said, ha, I'm going to rise and go back to my father. Even the hired servants are doing better than I'm doing. I'm going home. You don't think God will hedge you in with a, with a hedge of thorns. He'll fix it, brother. He'll fix it, sister. You'll find out when the consequences come. What about Jonah, the man of God who ran the other way? What happened to him? God fixed it to where he got in a great storm. And he said, just throw me overboard. I'd rather drown in the sea than have to go preach to them Ninevites. God said, you think you want to go that way? All right. I'll send a whale that swallowed him up. And man, that whale would come to the top of the water and get him some air and go way down deep and put pressure on him. I mean, Jonah was rumbling and bumbling and fumbling around in seaweed and rotten old fish that was undigested. I mean, he was there. Listen, this man of God was so hard-hearted, he was in the belly of that fish 3 days and 3 nights before he ever got right with God. God hedged him in and said, I'll discipline you. I'll chastise you. Listen, as a child of God, you're not going to get away with anything. Okay? Gomer's not getting away with anything. Israel's not getting away with anything. This church is not getting away with anything. Your family's not getting away with anything. This preacher's not getting away with anything. God is holy and righteous in all his affairs and all his judgment to us. Amen? Bible says in verse 8, she did not know, what's this? She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. She forgot who was providing for her. Israel forgot her God. Gomer forgot her husband. I'm afraid many of our churches has forgot our God. We think we're doing it on our tithes and offerings and out of our job. Friend, you wouldn't have air to breathe or a job to go to if it wasn't the Lord. So number 4 tonight, in verse number 9, we're going to see God's removal of blessings. Verse 9. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Now, God's speaking here, and God says it's my corn, and it's my wine, and it's my wool. And it's my flax. God said, all that I've allowed you to have was mine. I allowed you to share in it. And God says, I'm going to remove the blessing from you. You see, if you want to be stubborn and sinful and selfish, God will take your blessings away. There ain't nothing get your attention like God taking some blessings out of your life, for which we've been ungrateful, amen. Bible says in verse 10, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I want you to think about something with me. Israel was very prosperous. One of the things she was doing was she had trade agreements with all these nations that surrounded her. And as she made trade agreements with these nations, she began to also follow their gods. And everything got intertwined. And she got herself in trouble. And I just wonder if she thought, you know what, God? Go ahead and take away your wine and your corn and your oil and take away your wool and your flax. Take it out of my life. I'll get it somewhere else. I'll go to Walmart. Walmart will be the saving place for me. And if I can't get it there, I'll find somebody giving me credit. Let me tell you something. God says none will deliver you. There is none. Walmart's not going to deliver you. Your credit will soon run out. Amen? Amen. The credit that our nation keeps rising and raising and raising. Hey, what if our homes got to do what our nation does? It says, you know what, let's just raise our credit limit. That's what we'll do. We can't do that in our homes. It's not right that we do that in our nation. Something's wrong with that policy, amen? It's broken. And you know why it's broken? It's because we have left the Lord out and he's not blessing our land anymore. And so eventually it's going to be time to pay the piper. Amen? The Bible says in verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. The things that brought fellowship and joy to Israel, God said, I'm going to take away. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. He said, I'll take all your land and I'll turn it into a vast forest that the beasts of the field are going to run in. Verse 13, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. You know what God's going to do? God is going to take the nation of Israel and remove all the blessings out of their life to try to get them to get right with God. They're still not going to get right. The Assyrians are going to come and carry them away into captivity. And it's in captivity is where they're going to get right with God. You know, captivity can be the best thing for some of us, amen? Some hard places is the best thing can happen to our lives that we might get right with God. I want you to look fifthly tonight in verse 14 at the reach of God. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. As Israel hits the bottom, as Gomer hits the bottom, she's going to be sold into slavery. And as Israel is taken away into captivity, God says, then I will allure her. To allure someone is to use a persuasive drawing influence. It's not to force somebody. It's not to make somebody. It's to persuade them. It is to draw them. God is reaching his hand out to Israel, though now they be in captivity. Aren't you glad that when you and I backslid on God and we got in sin, that God didn't slap us on the back side of nowhere and forget about us? But he reached his hand out to us and allured us to draw us back to himself that we might get right with God. What a loving God we've got. He says, I will take her to the wilderness and I will speak comfortably unto her. That wilderness is a barren place, but it's okay. It's a place of solitude. It's a place where they can hear from God. And he says, I will speak comfortably unto her. It's going to remind her of the truth of the word of God. Watch verse 15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence. The vineyards that I took away, I'm going to give back to her in the middle of a wilderness. How's God going to give vineyards in the wilderness? Hey, God can prepare a table in the midst of the wilderness. Even in the presence of our enemies, God says, I'm going to show you who's really been blessing you. I'm going to show you who's really been providing for you. You think it was Syria? And you think it was Lebanon? You think it was the false god Baal? Get in the wilderness and find out what Syria thinks about you now. Get in the wilderness and find out what Baal's going to do for you. Oh, Baal, would you hear us? Would you send us something to eat? You're going to get nothing. But when you call on me, I'm going to send you the vineyards in the middle, in a dry and barren place, in the middle of a wilderness. He says, I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Boy, you ought to underline that in your Bible. The Valley of Achor. Preacher, what's that? You remember over there in Joshua, as Israel's getting ready to go fight a little place called Ai, that there was a man named Achan, and the Bible said that he took of the accursed thing. And God had Israel defeated at the hands of Ai. And Achan tried to hide some things that he stole from the Lord in his tent, and God put his hand upon the family and came all the way down to the individual Achan. And in the valley of Achor is where Achan hid and took of the accursed thing, and Achan got stoned for that. The word Achor means the great trouble. God says, in the midst of the valley of great trouble, I am going to turn that into a door of hope. What? Amen. In the middle of trouble, God's going to turn trouble into hope. He said, all this negativity, I'm allowing to promote positivity. I'm allowing you to be in the wilderness, you to be in captivity, you to be in the valley of Achor, you to be afflicted. I've allowed you to be there that you might get right with me. And when you turn to me, you have hope, which is a confident expectation that God will deliver us out of this captivity and restore us once again. Amen. For you tonight that are in trouble, what do I need to do? Just get right with God and wait on him to deliver you, because victories are coming. Amen. I said, victory is a coming. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. You remember that when she got there and God parted the Red Sea for Israel when they came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea and God drowned that whole Egyptian army in the middle of the Red Sea and they got on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance and they sang a song unto the Lord of deliverance. Hey, God said, I'm gonna come down and lift you out of the horrible pit and I'm going to put your feet up on a solid rock and I'm going to put a new song in your mouth, even the song of praise. God says she's going to sing again. Israel hadn't sung in a long time. God's going to cause her to sing again. Gomer hadn't sung at Hosea's house to the children in a long time. But God said, get ready, Hosea. She's going to be coming home soon. And when she gets here, she's going to sing to the babies again. Amen. That excites me to death. Verse 16. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Bala. Now this is the reach of God, right? He's reaching out. God said, you're going to call me Ishi, and you're not going to call me Bala. What do those terms mean? Let me tell you what the results of the reach of God are. Hey, the reach of God, his hand is not shortened that it cannot reach, that it cannot save. Amen. Hey, what's the result of the reach of God? God said, you'll call me Ishi. You know what that means? Husband. You're going to call me husband again. Amen. I'm going to restore you and Hosea, I'm going to restore you and Gomer. Hey, Israel, I'll be your husband. You'll not call me Bala no more. You know what that means? Master. You know, there's a difference between husband and master. A master wants you to serve and be a slave. There's no love in that relationship. But a husband and a bride, a wife, there's a love relationship. God said, I'm not looking for a slave, I'm looking for a wife. Can you see Hosea as he gets ready to go get his wife off the auction block? And she says, I'll be your slave forever, Hosea. I mean, I've sinned against you. And he says, get up, woman. I don't need a slave. What I need's a wife. Get up, woman. We don't need a slave. What we need's a mother for our children and our home. Amen. I like the results of the reach of God. Amen. God can save. Verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground. I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness and thou shalt know the Lord. Hey, Israel's return to the Lord is accompanied with peace and prosperity and provision and blessing and joy. Friend, I'm telling you, if we just return to the Lord, no telling what he'd do in our homes. Just like them little youngins over there tonight had their hands raised and said, I've been disobedient to my parents. I've been disobedient to my Lord. I've not opened my hands to serve him as I should. I've not opened my mouth to witness as I should. I've not been listening to the right things. I've not been thinking. Hey, if youngins can't get right with God, why can't the church? Huh? Why can't the church? The Bible says if we'd humble ourselves as a little child, we'd receive the kingdom of God. Something about little children, when they play together, you ever seen them fight? And about 20 seconds after the fight's over, they're together again. You won't get adults to do that. A little child is teachable, but not an adult. I'm telling you, I have literally had a number, I couldn't hold up, count on both hands, how many people have said to me personally, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. In other words, don't teach me the Bible. I already got all I want and all I need. Friend, I'm telling you what, we need to learn to be teachable, pliable to the hand of Almighty God. Hey, what is the results of the reach of God? Sweet deliverance. That's what we need, amen. Last of all, we'll be through verses 21 through 23. We see restoration. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. You see, Israel's repentance has caused, and return to the Lord has caused, the blessings of God to flow. And after all, we remember the term Jezreel means the Lord sows or the Lord scatters. And Hosea, your house is going to be blown apart. Israel as a nation is going to be scattered. They're going to go into captivity. But it's all right, you know, if you ever sowed grass seed and you put it in that old grinder that there and it's sowing that seed, and that seed's scattering and spreading every which way, hey, the seed will come up. And as God is scattering to produce repentance, that seed of repentance is going to come up and going to bear fruit for the glory of God. And the nation of Israel will be restored. And the house, the home, the marriage of Hosea will be restored with Gomer. Amen. I wrote this little thought down. The passing pleasures of sin have been forgotten. Ain't that good? Forget all that stuff behind us. And the true pleasures of serving the Lord are now acknowledged. Presently, faithfully. I want the blessings of God, don't you? I want it so bad.